This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you want to learn how to steal customer credit card information from major retailers so you can buy anything you want?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's award-winning firewalls prevent hackers from taking your valuable data to the bank. Reclaim your network, like 150,000 other businesses have. To learn more about protecting customer data and your reputation, visit barracuda.com/firewalls.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
A glitch creates chaos for a major airline. Good morning, I am Bruce Johnson in for Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It's Monday, October 12th, Columbus Day. And here's what we have for you this hour.
Another airline plagued by a technical problem, this time at Southwest. Long lines at a number of airports nationwide materialized yesterday after the company's website and mobile app went down.
Many House Republicans continue to push Paul Ryan to be the next speaker, but the Wisconsin lawmaker has shown no willingness to commit.
President Obama goes on CBS's 60 Minutes and talks in depth about Hillary Clinton's email controversy and Russia's intervention in Syria.
And why comedians love the New York Mets.
As someone who's a funny person, people that see the world through the lens of humor can't get behind something that's always successful, that always wins, because that's not funny. Being good is not funny. What's funny is something, you know, something bad happening or something unexpected happening.
That's Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal, who will have more in about 20 minutes. A technical glitch delayed hundreds of Southwest Airlines flights while the carrier checked in passengers manually at airports. The company said in a statement yesterday that it was experiencing intermittent issues on Southwest.com, the Southwest mobile app, and at reservation centers and airports across their system. About 300 flights had to be delayed. The lines were very long at many airports. At Denver International, about 1,000 people were online at check-in for a boarding pass. And the Southwest check-in line at McCarran International Airport in Las Vegas wrapped around the building and went down the street. Here's one affected passenger.
I usually do online check-in and I couldn't do it. So I was like, something's wrong with their computer. And then my sister sent us at the hotel that it said, make sure you're here 2 hours early. They're having technical difficulties.
That technical glitch is the latest to disrupt the nation's airline service in recent months. Well, support continues to grow amongst establishment Republicans and rebel conservatives for Wisconsin GOP Congressman Paul Ryan to be elected by his colleagues as new House Speaker. Across the Sunday TV talk shows, members of the Freedom Caucus that helped drive Speaker John Boehner toward retirement said they could swing behind Ryan in the wide-open race for a successor to Boehner. California Republican Congresswoman Mimi Walters, appearing on Fox News Channel's Sunday Morning Future, said she's big on Ryan.
We've got to do the American people's work, and I think he is the perfect person to lead us. So my hope is he comes back to Washington, D.C. next week and says, I'm ready to take on speakership job.
Freedom Caucus members want major changes in how the House works, including shifting some power from the Speaker to committee chairman. Conservatives say the ideal Speaker would answer to Republicans, even if that leads to such consequences as government shutdowns. However, Ryan remains noncommittal. His answer on the talk shows yesterday remained, no thanks. Now, the prospect of Ryan as Speaker arose after a rollicking 2 weeks on Capitol Hill in which Boehner announced his resignation and his heir apparent, Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, abruptly withdrew his candidacy. Well, to recap, for those of you keeping score, John Boehner doesn't want the job. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy stunned the political world by dropping out of the running, and former VP candidate Paul Ryan is pushing away from those who want him in the job. But there is at least one person who wants to be House Speaker, and he is Florida Republican Congressman Dan Webster, who has received support from the House Freedom Caucus, a group of about 40 conservative GOP representatives. Mary Ellen Kloss of the Miami Herald joins us now on the T-Mobile hotline with more on Dan Webster. Mary Ellen, do any pundits consider Webster to be the new favorite for Speaker?
Right now, I think everyone kind of looks at all the candidates. Right now, there's two official candidates, and neither are considered a favorite. Everyone sort of suspects that there will be somebody else recruited. There's a very big push to encourage Paul Ryan, the Wisconsin Republican and conservative who's chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. There's a big push to get him to put his name in the hat. Of course, he has aspirations to run for the presidency, and there's a lot of people that suggest that being Speaker of the House is not a good platform from which to run. Then there's Jason Chaffetz out of Utah, who's like Webster, not very well known. He was also, you know, part of the conservative kind of Tea Party group in the House. So one thing that I spoke with Webster yesterday, and he indicated that he does think there may be other candidates that emerge. And the way Webster works is I wouldn't be surprised if he isn't trying to put together some kind of a coalition and put his supporters behind somebody else, and as long as they push through and agree to the reforms that he wants to see.
What is Mr. Webster like for those of us who don't know him? Give us a description of him.
So Dan Webster's an engineer by trade who's got a surprising political savvy. He's really mild-mannered. He is super calm. He never gets worked up. He's not really a great public speaker. He's the nicest guy. You know, Democrats who worked with him really like him. They consider him a kind and considerate and ethical man. So I think when he left the Senate, after he was House Speaker, he was out for a couple of years. Then he returned to the Florida Senate, where he served 8 years. And when he left, during his retirement, he got a standing ovation. Everybody likes him. It's very interesting. Lobbyists as well as Democrats, and he's not necessarily one that just kowtows to the special interests either. So I think he's earned some respect in that way.
We're talking to Miami Herald reporter Mary Ellen Kloss. Mary Ellen, is Mr. Webster happy that the leadership race has unfolded the way it has when it comes to Speaker of the House?
I think he was shocked. He was shocked that McCarthy stepped down. He knew he had a really long shot bid ahead of him. And now he sees an opening, and so, yes, I think he's definitely happy. One thing that I can't go without mentioning is that because of the redistricting fight we've got that continues to be ongoing in Florida with the Florida congressional maps in litigation and the Supreme Court, you know, on the brink of deciding what the final map is going to look like, Webster has been drawn out of his district. So if he does pursue this and gets very far with it, he's very unlikely to have a home district to run on in 2016. It's possible that there may be other retirements and speculation that others may retire and he could run in another district. But it's a huge inconvenience, and it's definitely a hurdle.
Mary Ellen, thanks. That is Miami Herald reporter Mary Ellen Kloss with details on Florida Congressman Dan Webster, who would like to be the next Speaker of the House. It is now 14 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. And if you're a podcast listener and you'd like to hear the show earlier, you can always download the TuneIn app or listen to our program live on your smartphone. Now, Gordon is off today. I am Bruce Johnson filling in for him. President Obama says his former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's use of a personal email server was a mistake, but that U.S. national security had not been endangered. In his first extensive remarks on the controversy that has roiled the Democratic presidential nomination race, Obama said on CBS's 60 Minutes last night that questions about Mrs. Clinton's email arrangement were legitimate. The president told interviewer Steve Croft that it's important for her to answer these questions to the satisfaction of the American people. At the same time, Mr. Obama said Clinton's email arrangement didn't put the U.S. at risk and said the issue had been politicized.
I don't think it posed a national security problem. I think that it was a mistake that she's acknowledged.
Meanwhile, Obama said Russia's nearly two-week-long military offensive in Syria comes from a position of weakness after his administration was criticized for appearing to be caught flat-footed by Moscow's mobilization. Obama told Croft that Russia's land, air, and sea military campaign in Syria, aimed at propping up Syrian President al-Assad's regime, demonstrates that Russian President Vladimir Putin's Syrian strategy has failed. It's now 19 minutes after the hour. Now here's Jennifer Koshenka with more of America's First News.
Good morning, Bruce. House Republicans divided over who should be their next speaker are signaling possible support for Ways and Means Chairman Paul Ryan. Members of the hardline Freedom Caucus and others went on the Sunday talk shows to speak favorably about Ryan. New York Congressman Peter King appeared on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures.
I think he'd be an outstanding speaker. I would fully support him. I think he's the one person who could bring the party together.
Establishment GOP lawmakers indicate they can get on board with Ryan, but Ryan continues to say he doesn't want the job. President Vladimir Putin is defending Russia's military operations in Syria, saying the aim is to stabilize the legitimate authority of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Putin told Russian state TV that Moscow also wants to create conditions for a political compromise in Syria, and he denied that Russian airstrikes are hitting moderate opposition groups rather than ISIS. Greek authorities say they've rescued more than 1,600 refugees and economic migrants who entered the country in dozens of frail boats from neighboring Turkey over the past 3 days. The Coast Guard says the migrants were picked up at sea in 47 separate incidents. For just the third time in 40 years, millions of Social Security recipients, disabled veterans, and federal retirees can expect no increase in benefits next year, and they can blame low gas prices. By law, the annual cost of living adjustment is based on a government measure of inflation, which is being dragged down by lower prices at the pump. And if you're going to run for president, you may as well listen to someone who's been there, done that. President Obama had some advice for Kanye West at a West Coast fundraiser this weekend, referencing the name of Kanye's fifth album.
Saying that you have a beautiful, dark, twisted fantasy. That's what's known as off message in politics. You can't say something like that. There are a lot of people who've lost their congressional seats saying things like that.
The president also said West has to spend a lot of time dealing with strange characters who behave like they're on reality TV shows, so he has to be cool with that.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be someone like, let's say, jumps on stage at an MTV show and upstages Taylor Swift. You wouldn't want to be that.
Absolutely not.
All right, Jennifer, thank you. It is now 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. And coming up, why the New York Mets are so loved by stand-up comedians.
You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing.
Dating way back to 1962, when the colorful Casey Stengel was manager in the team's inaugural campaign, the Mets became amazing for their antics and inability on the field. Even now, 63 years later, with the team in the playoffs, people still love to poke fun at the Mets. Gordon Deal has more.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal sports writer Jared Diamond. His piece is called Why Comedians Love the Mets. All right, so go figure. Which comedians, by the way?
It's a long list. You're Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Amy Schumer, Kevin James, Jon Stewart, And this is a very, very long list where it seems like, you know, you could fill an entire roster of very big-time comedians that all call themselves diehard Mets fans. And at some point, you start to think to yourself, this might not be a coincidence.
Did they like going to Mets games because there was always material based on how hapless the Mets have been in certain years?
That's a big part of it. I think it's not just that the Mets are bad, and they are largely bad and have been bad for a long time. It's that they're always an underdog. They will forever be the little brother to the Yankees in New York. They're always going to have this aura of being second fiddle. And I think to these comedians who kind of grow up feeling like underdogs, I think every comic that I talk to and just seeing other interviews with them, they all talk about their, you know, their childhoods of feeling somehow marginalized or feeling like they were losers or they were nerds or they were whatever, and that's how they kind of honed their sense of humor, which ended up becoming their calling card. And that just jives really well with a franchise that kind of exists to be a punching bag.
Wow. We're speaking with Jared Diamond, Wall Street Journal sports writer. His piece is called Why Comedians Love the Mets. You know, I thought it was fascinating, too. You had the co-executive producer for The Simpsons saying, I can't imagine somebody who has a sense of humor being a Yankee fan. What is that? What does he mean by that?
You know, it's funny. There are some comedians who are Yankee fans. You think of Billy Crystal, Larry David, but they're few and far between. And I think what he's saying is, as someone who's a funny person, people that see the world through the lens of humor can't get behind something that's always successful, that always wins, because that's not funny. Being good is not funny. What's funny is something, you know, something bad happening or something unexpected happening.
Right.
The Yankees have this button-down, corporate, you know, arrogant attitude that comes with success, lots of success, but no one ever looks at the Yankees and thinks that's a funny team.
Wow. And, you know, the other point I think that was interesting in your story, you said, you mentioned before being an underdog, that feeling doesn't end with childhood. It continues into their professional life.
Absolutely. Every comic I spoke with talked about at some point starting out in their business and going around the country and feeling like they're never going to make it, playing, you know, ridiculous hours, sets, multiple sets a night in places in the middle of nowhere, and just feeling like this is never going to work out for me. No one's laughing. No one thinks I'm funny. It's that feeling of being an underdog that fits with the Mets. Look, it's that mindset that makes them so attractive to this team. You need a certain attitude, a certain ability to laugh in order to root for a team that just loses so much. And, you know, I mentioned this in the story as well. I think that's probably why a lot of comics are Cubs fans. You go to Chicago, another city with two teams, the White Sox and the Cubs, and there's so many comedians that are drawn to the Cubs, and they have a very similar sort of position as the Mets, where they're always losing, and now they're both in the playoffs. So maybe for one of these fan bases, it'll finally be the year.
Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal and our own Gordon Deal joking about the Mets, but hopefully the Mets will be serious tonight when they host L.A. in Game 3 of their NLDS. It is 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Straight ahead, a new survey says the majority of Americans will take Obamacare into the voting booth with them when electing a new president in 2016. It's 34 minutes after the hour. I'm Bruce Johnson, filling in for Gordon on Columbus Day, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It's Monday, October 12th, and here's what's happening. Southwest Airlines is the latest carrier to be hit by technical problems. The company's website and mobile app went down yesterday, causing long lines at a number of airports. A number of House Republicans were on the Sunday TV talk show circuit, pushing Paul Ryan for speaker, but the former VP candidate isn't taking the bait as of yet. And in NFL Sunday Night Football, Eli Manning threw a touchdown pass in the final half minute at MetLife Stadium to give the Giants a 30-27 victory over the 49ers. An overwhelming majority of Americans say the Affordable Care Act will factor into their 2016 presidential vote. That according to a report released by InsuranceQuotes.com, an insurance comparison shopping site for consumers, and an acquisition platform for insurance agents and carriers. Laura Adams of InsuranceQuotes.com is here now with the details on the website's new survey.
We found that 85% of Americans say that the ACA or Obamacare will factor into their decision about the 2016 election. 41% say it's very important. 33% said somewhat important. So overall, we're just seeing a lot of people understanding that this is a big part of the future and really wanting it to be a part of the candidate's view that they're going to select.
Interesting, this would be the case 5 years after it went into law, right?
That's it. I mean, it's been around a while, but I think people are really still kind of on the fence about it. For the most part, we see 45% say they want to keep it, 44% say they want to get rid of it. And that statistic has really stayed unchanged over the past couple of years. Women and Hispanics tend to be more anxious about the law overall, and millennials tend to be the most likely to support it.
Are people putting this high on their priority list for a candidate above things like immigration or taxes or national defense?
We see a lot of people saying this is really going to be a factor in how they're going to vote, you know, and we are seeing that people are slightly more comfortable with insurance. Only 47% say they're worried about the future. That's down from 55% last year saying they were worried about having affordable health insurance in the future. So people are feeling a little bit more comfortable, but I still think it's something that is really important to Americans. They know that it's fragile and that all could change depending on who gets, you know, who becomes the winner of this next election.
We're talking to Laura Adams of InsuranceQuotes.com. Laura, why are millennials most likely to support the ACA?
I think for a lot of young people, they really like the idea of everyone being included and everyone being able to have insurance, even if they have pre-existing conditions. The older Americans are the ones that are saying, you know, we are really not sure about this. They're saying that they want to repeal the law because they feel that their health insurance right now, their situation is worse than it was a year ago. So I think they've got more perspective. Perhaps millennials just even haven't had a chance to use their insurance much. In general, they're going to be younger and healthier compared to older Americans who may really be relying on it.
Plus, aren't many millennials still on their parents' insurance?
Yeah, so many young people are still on their parents' plan or they're just going uninsured. We do see the largest percentage of Americans who are uninsured are millennials. The younger folks tend to skip it because they feel that they're, you know, invincible, as we say. So I think, you know, they just don't have as much experience yet with insurance and health insurance, but it's something that is certainly going to play a bigger part in their lives as they get older.
This was not that big a deal in the 2012 election cycle because it was so new. Is that correct?
Right. The law had been in effect. It actually went into effect 5 years ago, but it really wasn't rolling out. It really wasn't changing us, you know, day to day and in our insurance choices. So I think as people become more familiar with it and they understand that it's law, they've got to buy health insurance, and they begin to see, hey, I'm going to get a penalty if I don't get insurance, it's really going to hit Americans' pockets, hit the bottom line for them, and become more of a real hot-button issue.
Is there anything else we should be aware of?
Yeah, I think for most Americans, they may be seeing higher premiums. You know, in some places, the premiums are going up, so that's a factor. We want consumers to know that they can still shop around. They can still, even if they have insurance now, they can shop and make sure that they're not overpaying for coverage. Open enrollment begins in November, so it's the perfect time to reevaluate your coverage and make sure you're paying for affordable coverage and even getting a subsidy if you qualify for one.
Laura, thanks. That is Laura Adams of InsuranceQuotes.com. It is now 21 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. And if you're a podcast fan, you can hear ours on the website This Morning with GordonDeal.com or on places like SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Just search for This Morning.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean, without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack, when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 1313 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 1313.
Welcome back to This Morning, America's First News, and we now go beyond the headlines. This morning's Mike Gavin is here once again with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about later on today.
Good morning. Well, it looks like the UConn students are trying to use that embarrassing viral video about mac and cheese to raise a little cheddar. The video of a fellow student berating food service workers who refused to sell him jalapeno bacon mac and cheese prompted a group of students to start an online fundraiser to give the beleaguered employees a well-deserved night out. A UConn freshman named Sadie Rumsey and her friends set up a GoFundMe page to show their support for the workers abused in the video. As of this morning, the campaign had raised over $1,700, far exceeding the original goal of about $1,000. In addition, university officials have been moved by the outpouring of support. A university spokeswoman says they are discussing ways to do something special to recognize the dining service workers, not just for the handling of the incident, but also for the ongoing hard work and great service they provide students, employees, and guests. By the way, a quick update on the young man whose video antics started this whole mess. 19-year-old Luke Gotti is due in court Tuesday on charges of breach of peace and criminal trespass.
And a very nice story about people supporting the old cafeteria workers.
Yeah, people who rarely do get supported publicly or otherwise. So, yeah, this is a brought this to the attention of the folks at the college. And the students also want to kind of clear the name of the school. Like, look, there's not a lot of bad people that go to this school. Just one bad apple in the whole bunch. But it's a great school and a prestigious school at that. And we want to make sure people know that. And Bruce, as Halloween decorating season hits its peak, there are no shortage of scary scenes being displayed in yards across the country. One such display has been found to be a little too real for residents of one Detroit neighborhood. Larethea Haddon says police first showed up last Tuesday. On the first day, she put a dummy on her lawn face down, then making return trips on Wednesday and Thursday as well. By Friday, folks had apparently figured out that the dummy wasn't actually a person, and the police visits finally stopped. Haddon, for her part, has been loving every minute of this attention. She says she put the dummy face down in a different location every morning and watches the reactions from passersby as she sips coffee. She says some have attempted CPR, and once they find out it's a dummy, it is hilarious.
Really?
To her, I guess.
Jeez.
I mean, can you imagine, though, even starting CPR on a dummy? I mean, you really have to be kind of a dummy yourself to not notice that it's not a real person.
Boy, but to be laughing about attempted CPR.
Yeah.
fun and games in Halloween in the Detroit neighborhood.
We all have quirky senses of humor, I guess.
Exactly. All right, Mike, thanks a lot. It is now 14 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. And coming up, we'll take a look at California craft beer brewers who are balancing drafts and drought.
You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing.
And Gordon is off today for Columbus Day. Bruce Johnson filling in. And time now for our small business report brought to you by Staples. Staples has more for less on everything your business needs to make more happen every day. Plus free shipping and up to 5% back when you sign up for Staples. Staples. Make more happen. Well, California, which of course is undergoing a severe drought, has more craft breweries, those small independent beer makers that use traditional ingredients, than any other state. More than 570 are in operation, but brewers are trying to balance the draft and the drought. A typical craft brewery uses up to 7 gallons of water to make 1 gallon of beer. Some in California have decreased that ratio to less than 5 to 1, but they're still being asked to cut back to meet the state mandate, which aims for the Golden State's overall urban water use to go down by 25% when compared with 2013. No other state in the drought-plagued West has taken such action. Now, if Mother Nature doesn't bring significant showers and snowstorms this fall and winter, some breweries may be forced to leave California. It is now 8 minutes in front of the hour, and again, here's Jennifer Koshenka with more of America's First News.
First, President Obama weighed in on Hillary Clinton's email controversy on CBS's 60 Minutes in an interview that aired last night.
I don't think it posed a national security problem. I think that it was a mistake that she's acknowledged.
He added that Clinton's situation was different from that of people who had intentionally taken classified material, placed it on a private computer, and been prosecuted by federal authorities. It was one of the few times the president has addressed the controversy since March, when Clinton's use of the server was first reported. Southwest Airlines says hundreds of flights have been delayed by technical issues and warned passengers flying today to arrive 2 hours early and print boarding passes before coming to the airport. The Dallas-based company says it's using backup systems around the country to check-in travelers lacking printed or mobile boarding passes, but technology problems that began yesterday morning are continuing. Iran test-fired a new generation of surface-to-surface ballistic missile yesterday, a move that could complicate the implementation of the country's July nuclear deal. Iran's defense minister says the missile was capable of precise control and that the country doesn't need to ask anyone's permission to enhance its missile capability. European Union foreign ministers are meeting to consider how the bloc should react to multiple ongoing crises in the Middle East and North Africa, with the EU's top diplomat calling Russia's military intervention in Syria a game changer. The EU's foreign policy chief says Russia's military action is worrisome and dangerous unless it's coordinated with the U.S.-led coalition attacking ISIS. More problems for a once-storied college football program. USC will be without head coach Steve Sarkisian, who was asked yesterday by athletic director Pat Hayden to take a leave of absence. Reports indicate that Sarkisian is expected to seek treatment and that players noticed the coach wasn't sober at a special teams meeting yesterday morning. There are also reports some assistant coaches believe Sarkisian was drunk during a game on September 26th. Offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach Clay Helton will fill the position in the interim.
Also over the weekend, Maryland firing head coach Randy Etzel.
You know, it's kind of sad that they're doing this midstream now. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what you gain by that college season.
Yeah, I mean, NFL is one thing or professional, but college, it's getting out of hand.
All right, Jennifer, have a good day.
Thanks.
It is now 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. And coming up, more cities are recognizing Native Americans on Columbus Day. Let me close our show by telling you that more cities are recognizing Native Americans on Columbus Day this year as they revive a movement to change the name of the holiday to celebrate the history and contributions of indigenous cultures nationwide. As the U.S. observes Columbus Day, it'll also be Indigenous Peoples Day in at least 9 cities for the first time this year, including Albuquerque, Portland, Oregon, St. Paul, Minnesota, and Olympia, Washington. Encouraged by city council votes in Minneapolis and Seattle last year, Native American activists made a push in dozens of cities in recent months to get local leaders to officially recognize the second Monday of October as Indigenous Peoples Day. Well, that'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Bruce Johnson in for Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.